You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it, and it goes down smooth. Hey!
Spanning the continent to bring you the truth about cannabis and marijuana law reform.
I smoke pot and I like it a lot.
The Ruff Belleville Show, the voice of the marijuana nation. Now, here's your host, Radical Ruff Belleville.
Good day, tokers and tokettes and non-toking lovers of liberty. It is Friday, January 29th, 2021, and it's got to be 420 somewhere in the world. It's also got to be my last Friday as a 52-year-old. Who knew? Yes, birthday coming up this weekend. Please send money. Send lots of money. Because if I had lots of money, folks, marijuana would be legal already nationwide. Just give me the money. I guarantee I'll get it done. Might take me a few years. Anyway, we got, speaking of marijuana legalization and just the issue of marijuana in general, we got a very special episode of the Russ Belleville Show today, because this morning I and other members of the Idaho Citizens Coalition sat in on the final hearing in the Senate State Affairs Committee for the state of Idaho, hearing a proposal by Senator C. Scott Groh. C. Scott Groh has proposed a constitutional amendment to amend the Idaho Constitution to say that all drugs in Schedule 1 and Schedule 2 in Idaho right now shall always and forever be illegal. Always and forever be illegal. That's what we're dealing with here. So the hearing was today, and we didn't get to testify, but Senator Groh spoke about his amendment, and other senators on the committee spoke about it as well. So coming up after the Cannabis Headline Newsweek, I've got for you the audio, the testimony that was heard in the committee today. And it's really tough when you're sitting there. You know, we're all sitting there. We got patients sitting there. And we're all sitting there listening to this testimony. And you can't boo. You can't clap. You can't rebut it. You just have to sit and listen. And sometimes some of the most ignorant things get said. And you just want so badly to correct them that you can't. Well, I can. I have a show. So that's what we're going to do. We're going to listen to the testimony from all these senators, both pro and con. And I will give you a breakdown on what's wrong and what's right with some of what they said. So that's coming up here right after the news. Also in the show today, special exclusive sneak peek look at something that nobody else has their eyes on from the state of Idaho. The very first ever proposed medical marijuana bill. That's right. They're actually going to try a medical marijuana bill, but don't get your hopes up, folks. This one makes Utah's program look competent. Okay, so there's a lot of work to be done here. We're going to tell you all about that coming up on the show as well. So stay tuned for that. But first, we got to get to the cannabis headline news. Let's find out what's been going on the rest of this week in states other than Idaho.
This is your Cannabis Headline News, brought to you by MarijuanaMoment.net, the complete source for all your marijuana news in one morning newsletter from Marijuana Majority founder Tom Angel. Subscribe today for free at MarijuanaMoment.net.
With your Cannabis Headline News Week for the week ending Friday, January 29th, 2021, I'm Russ Belleville. Hotels, Airbnbs, and other lodging facilities in Missouri would be allowed to let medical marijuana patients consume cannabis on their properties under a recently filed bill reported by Marijuana Moment. The legislation, titled the Reduction of Illegal Public Consumption by Allowing for Compassionate Access to Medical Marijuana Act, would require the State Department of Health and Senior Services to create a new medical marijuana lodging establishment license for the facilities. They would have to submit an application and a $50 fee to the agency in order to obtain the new approval. Once licensed, lodging facilities would have to follow certain rules, such as confirming that guests are registered medical cannabis patients, posting signage that says marijuana can be consumed on the property, and ensuring that consumption areas are at least 25 feet away from sections where it is prohibited. Places that knowingly permit cannabis to be used without a license would be subject to a $1,000 fine for a first offense, $2,000 for a second, $5,000 for a third, and the suspension of their business license for a fourth. With the advent of 2021, Utah medical marijuana patients lost the legal ability to cross state lines and buy their medicine in Colorado or Nevada, as many of them have been doing for months. State lawmakers put this sunset date on out-of-state purchases in anticipation that, by this point, Utah's medical cannabis program would be robust enough to serve its own patient population. But nearly a year since legal cannabis sales began in Utah, the Salt Lake Tribune reports that only half of the state's 14 approved medical pharmacies have opened, and the retailers that are up and running have often struggled to keep their shelves full. On top of that, half the state's cultivators harvested next to nothing through much of the 2020 season, and resulting product shortages drove up the cost for patients. Two competing sites for marijuana dispensaries in Jackpot, Nevada, advanced this month as Elko County Commissioners approved one rezoning request and County Planning Commissioners agreed to hear a second request next month. Both locations are along U.S. Highway 93, not far from the Idaho-Nevada border, about 45 miles south of Twin Falls, Idaho, reports MagicValley.com. Jackpot has suffered economically because of COVID-19 and is looking at marijuana sales to give the town a boost. County commissioners approved an ordinance in November allowing sales, despite opposition from Twin Falls County officials. Opening these dispensaries will create a fifth Idaho border town and the first on Idaho's southern border to supply marijuana to the only state in the nation that still bans industrial hemp. The COVID-19 pandemic has effectively ended random drug testing on hundreds of people in the criminal justice system in Hennepin County, Minnesota, home to Minneapolis, the state's largest city. Data from the county's lab, examined by KTSP-TV, shows a 95% decrease in testing capacity from 2019 to 2020, a striking reduction that is worrisome to drug advocates and a county judge who say it will result in dire consequences for people struggling with addiction. The lab tested, on average, 990 people a week in 2019. Those numbers fell to 45 people a week the following year. For several weeks in April 2020, data shows only a handful of people were brought in for drug testing. The limited capacity is due, in part, to new COVID safety protocols, according to Carrie Scardigli, who oversees the testing lab in Hennepin County's Department of Community Corrections and Rehabilitation. Giggling bread and joyfully dancing salad are not the usual meals served in Thailand, but one eatery is hoping its foods made with parts of the cannabis plant can interest foreign visitors. The restaurant at a hospital in Prachinburi Province started serving the meals this month. Voice of America notes that Thailand recently took cannabis off its list of narcotic drugs. The government then permitted some businesses to grow the plant. The hospital is known as being the first in Thailand to study marijuana and its ability to ease pain and extreme tiredness. The restaurant's offerings include happy pork soup and deep-fried bread topped with pork and a marijuana leaf. Another is a mix of crispy cannabis leaves served with pork and vegetables. Governor Michelle Lujan Grisham said in a TV interview that she's optimistic about marijuana legalization, adding that projections show New Mexico gaining thousands of jobs and raising hundreds of millions of dollars in tax revenue.
I'm still really optimistic about cannabis, which is 12,000 jobs. And, you know, by the fifth year in operation, the projections are we would make $600 million a year. It is a large economic boost.
Meanwhile, Senate Majority Leader Peter Wirth said last week that he's having ongoing conversations with multiple legislators who plan to sponsor legalization bills. And he's conveyed to them that whatever piece of legislation advances must address those fundamental underlying issues of social justice. According to Marijuana Moment, a bill to legalize cannabis for adult use passed one Senate committee last year, only to be rejected in another before the end of the 30-day session. Earlier in 2019, the House approved a legalization bill that included provisions to put marijuana sales mostly in state-run stores, but it later died in the Senate. Delaware could see tens of millions of dollars in tax revenue every year if it moves to legalize marijuana, a top statewide elected official said in a new report released on Monday. The analysis from State Auditor Kathy McGinnis found that Delaware could generate upwards of $43 million annually in revenue from taxing and regulating cannabis. The legal market could also create more than 1,000 new jobs over 5 years if the policy is enacted, according to the report. To come up with these estimates, the state auditor's office looked at publicly available data and concluded that a regulated marijuana industry would grow to be a $215 million enterprise. And assuming that marijuana is taxed at 20%, that would translate into $43 million in tax revenue. A Republican congressman has filed the second piece of marijuana reform legislation to be introduced so far in the new 117th Congress. This one aimed at ensuring that military veterans aren't penalized for using medical cannabis in compliance with state law. The proposal from Representative Greg Stube of Florida, who filed a more expansive version of the measure last year, would also codify that the U.S. Department of Veterans Affairs doctors are allowed to discuss the risks and benefits of marijuana with their patients. VA doctors are currently permitted to discuss cannabis with patients and document their usage in medical records, and those veteran patients are already shielded by agency policy from losing their benefits for marijuana use. But the new bill would enshrine these policies into federal statute, so they could not be administratively changed in the future. Idaho lawmakers on Monday heard the first testimony for and against a proposed amendment that would forever enshrine marijuana prohibition in the state constitution. C. Scott Groh, a state senator and high-level leader in the Mormon Church, said his amendment would make it so all drugs currently in Idaho's Schedule 1 or Schedule 2, like marijuana, would forever remain illegal unless approved by Idaho lawmakers and the Federal Food and Drug Administration. The catch, of course, is that the FDA has no power to regulate a plant, so whole plant cannabis would forever be banned in Idaho. And since Idaho is the only state in the U.S. not to update its hemp laws to match the 2018 Farm Bill, hemp, too, would remain permanently banned. Further complicating measures for reform is the fact that in Idaho, only the legislature can propose amendments, so if this prohibition went into effect, no further initiatives from the people could ever repeal it. When the UK was part of the European Union, it enjoyed the free movement of goods with other EU member states. This helped foster a growing CBD market in Britain, despite domestic legislation that bans hemp growers from using the plant's flowering tops. Under the latest Brexit trade deal, though, shipping, customs, tariffs, and novel food regulations are a lot more complicated, not just for UK CBD makers, but also suppliers in the United States and mainland Europe and anyone hoping to sell to UK customers. The outlook for CBD is less cheery in the post-Brexit reality, as UK businesses and their international partners have to navigate new customs declaration forms, shipping delays, and three novel food authorization schemes. As President Joe Biden takes the reins of the federal government, the transition is impacting pending rules and policies from the former Trump administration, including those concerning hemp and CBD. The Food and Drug Administration last week withdrew draft guidance on CBD enforcement that had been submitted for review to the White House under Trump last year. There are a few details about what the proposal included, but it was expected to give the industry a better understanding of the federal perspective when it comes to marketing cannabis products. That guidance is now being placed on hold, however. The decision to withdraw it came shortly after Biden was inaugurated and his chief of staff sent out a government-wide memo calling on federal agencies to pull pending rules, as Hemp Industry Daily first reported. What this means for CBD businesses is that they're left with limited guidance as for what's acceptable and what might warrant enforcement action as they produce and sell hemp-derived products that were made legal under the 2018 Farm Bill. The psychedelics reform movement has seen a wave of successes at the state and local level over the past couple of years, but a newly formed group says the timing is right to take their activism to the next stage, Congress. The Plant Medicine Coalition, founded by the head of the Washington, D.C. campaign that got psychedelics decriminalization passed locally in November's election, is a national organization that hopes to build upon what's already been accomplished and bring the issue to Capitol Hill, in part by pushing lawmakers to approve federal funding for research into the therapeutic potentials of substances like psilocybin mushrooms and ayahuasca. They will also work to ensure the effective implementation of D.C.'s city-level policy change while supporting other local activists as they push to change laws governing natural or synthetic psychedelics. After medical marijuana was legalized in Oklahoma in June of 2018, the Oklahoma Medical Marijuana Authority had only 60 days to prop up the entire program, forcing the agency to play catch-up over the past 2.5 years. But 2021 brings changes to the state's medical marijuana program, including a new seed-to-sale system and quality assurance lab, and the upcoming legislative session could mean even more. Kelly Williams, interim director of the OMMA, said it will account for the full lifespan of every plant and product across the state. This is possible through the use of Metrics RFID tags, which every grower and processor will have to purchase and use to label every plant and package. All licensed medical marijuana businesses will also be required to pay a monthly fee to be in the Metric system. The Metric tracking system is used in 14 other states and D.C. New Jersey voters approved a referendum to legalize marijuana in November, and the state attorney general is instructing prosecutors to suspend low-level cannabis cases. But the number of marijuana-related arrests in the state's largest city have remained largely unchanged compared to last year. That's according to a recent analysis of crime report data in Newark by Justin Leiby, an associate professor of accountancy at the University of Illinois. The Newark Police Department made a total of 57 marijuana-related arrests in the first 20 days of this year, compared to 63 arrests made for the same period in 2020. But more notably, that trend is driven by a spike in arrests for simple possession alone, which grew from 39 last year to 48 this year, a 23% increase. This is despite the fact that Attorney General Gerber Grewal issued guidance in November telling prosecutors not to take on low-level cannabis cases as lawmakers work to develop regulations for a regulated market. Martha Stewart launched a line of cannabis-infused pet snacks and oils Tuesday. Stewart said in a statement Tuesday, quote, "Just as CBD can support human wellness, it's been shown to improve the quality of life for pets as well," end quote. The soft-baked chews range from roughly $20 to $30 for a 30-pack, according to Canopy Growth, Stewart's partner in the venture. Different varieties aim to promote calm, mobility, and wellness. There are also chicken-flavored CBD drops available for $39.99. They are corn, soy, and wheat-free and contain no artificial colors, flavors, or preservatives. Stewart teamed up with Canopy scientists to develop the products, the company said. Newly installed Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer reiterated on Monday in an interview with MSNBC's Rachel Maddow that marijuana reform will be a legislative priority for his chamber as the session ramps up. Schumer said that when it comes to marijuana reform, the issue intersects with both racial and economic justice.
Same with racial justice. A young man is arrested with a small amount of marijuana in his pocket. He has a criminal record the rest of his life, can't become a productive citizen. This one won't hire him, that one won't hire him. Change that.
The comments came in response to Maddow's prompt to list his top legislative priorities for the new year. He first listed climate change, then included cannabis in a riff about economic and racial inequality, and concluded by discussing democracy and election reform. New Mexico Governor Michelle Lujan Grisham on Tuesday reiterated her commitment to legalizing marijuana in the state in 2021. During a State of the State address, the governor again discussed cannabis reform as a means to generate needed tax revenue amid the coronavirus pandemic and create jobs.
I have no interest in another year of thousands of New Mexicans eager to get to work and make their future in this industry being told no, just because that's easier than doing the hard work to get to yes. When we emerge from this pandemic, we can have the same old economy with the same old boom and bust future, or we can roar back to life, breaking new ground and fearlessly investing in ourselves, in the limitless potential of New Mexicans. I know which future I prefer, and we can begin building it this year.
The governor of Minnesota on Tuesday implored the legislature to look into legalizing marijuana as a means to boost the economy and promote racial justice. During a briefing focused on his budget proposal for the 2022-23 biennium, Governor Tim Walz was asked whether he is open to allowing sports betting in the state to generate tax revenue. He replied he wasn't closing the door on that proposal, but he said he is more interested in seeing lawmakers take a look at recreational cannabis.
I would still like the legislators to take a look at recreational cannabis because of the not just the revenue sources that are there that dwarf sports betting, but because of the equity issue and to be quite honestly, the racial impact of our cannabis laws. But I will say this, I will certainly leave open that possibility.
New York activists are ready for 2021 to be the year that the state finally legalizes marijuana, but the legislative text Governor Cuomo has released also contains a section that would make it a Class D felony, punishable by up to 2.5 years in prison, to sell cannabis to anyone under the age of 21. Currently in New York, an illicit sale to an underage person is a misdemeanor. Eli Northrup, a New York public defender and member of the reform coalition Smart Start New York, ignited a controversy over the youth penalty provision last week, arguing on Twitter that legalization, quote, cannot mean increased criminalization, end quote. Lieutenant Governor Kathy Hochul told Marijuana Moment in a phone interview on Tuesday that the administration remains, quote, very concerned about making sure that no one under the age of 21 is participating, end quote, in the marijuana market, and the intent of the section at issue is deterrence. All right, that's your cannabis headline news for the week. All the news that's fit to hear. If you want to hear any of those audio quotes again, go to RadicalRust.com, click on the show heading at the top, and choose Cannabis Headline News. Every clip that I play in the news, it's embedded there at RadicalRust.com. You can hear him talk about it for yourself. When we come back, Idaho's constitutional amendment. The Coffee Pod in Sumter, Oregon, is your fast, friendly marijuana shop nestled in the beautiful Elkhorn Mountain Range outside of Baker City. We're serving Eastern Oregon and Idaho's Treasure Valley with the selection of flower, pre-rolls, vapes, dab, and edibles you need at the prices that make it well worth the drive. Don't venture to some well-watched parking lot in some border town dispensary just to take a number and wait in a long line for your cannabis products. Make the drive to the Coffee Pot in Sumter and deal one-on-one with your bud tender with no waiting. See, feel, and smell the products you're after and make your purchase knowing your tax dollars are helping a small tourist community that needs it. Plus, every dollar you spend is a point toward our Bong Bucks program that earns you coupons on glass and accessories. The Coffee Pot also honors our military, seniors, teachers, and first responders with a 10% discount. And as always, OMMP patients pay no 20% tax. Come on up to the Coffee Pot in Sumter, the first business on the left, on the side of the two-story log cabin restaurant, and tell them Radical Rest sent you.
And now, Puff Pass Ponder with Radical Russ.
A black man in Montana is 10 times more likely to be arrested for weed, and he's getting pretty sick of it. This has been Puff Pass Ponder with Radical Russ.
Radical Russ here, reminding you that marijuana legalization doesn't just happen. Smart, dedicated activists have put their freedom and future on the line to make it happen. Like the activists at the Minority Cannabis Business Association. Since legalization at the state level began in 2012, the MCBA has been working to ensure that the implementation of legalization is inclusive of minorities and reparative of the damages done to communities of color by the war on drugs. Get involved by visiting MinorityCannabis.org. And keep it here on Radical Russ Radio for conversations with leaders from this organization, the best marijuana music, and the latest news about cannabis.
We must wage what I have called total war against public enemy number one.
I support a change in law to end federal criminal penalties for possession of up to 1 ounce of marijuana.
That marijuana, pot, grass, whatever you want to call it, is probably the most dangerous drug.
Some think there won't be room for them in jail. We'll make room.
I experimented with marijuana a time or two, and I didn't like it, and didn't inhale.
One major responsibility is to encourage people to use less drugs.
Entirely legitimate topic for debate.
Radical Rant.
All right, for today's Radical Rant, we're going to go on an extended deep dive into Idaho politics. And it's fascinating, of course, because Idaho is America's last absolute prohibition state. That's right, the last state in the entire country where you can be put in jail for hemp. Yeah, for hemp, folks. Yeah, there's a lot of places you can still get busted for a joint, right? But we're talking hemp is illegal in the state of Idaho. Idaho is America's last absolute prohibition state. And what we're facing right now is what I call their Waterloo. This is the drug prohibitionists' Waterloo, Idaho is. It's their last gasp at stopping the advance of fact, science, reason, logic, and compassion, otherwise known as medical cannabis. And what this last gasp attempt is they are proposing, this is a Senator C. Scott Grow, kind of ironic, someone named Grow would be proposing something that criminalizes growing, but C. Scott Grow is proposing a constitutional amendment to add to the Idaho Constitution that says any drug that's currently in Schedule 1 or Schedule 2 will forever be illegal. Really, it's as if we were going to freeze all scientific understanding at the year 2021. Everything we've ever discovered about drugs and medicine is done. There's nothing new to learn. We're going to amend our Constitution so that these drugs shall never be medicine, shall never be legal for anyone to use. Now, of course, they like to dress this up as, oh, well, look what they did in Oregon. My God, in Oregon, they legalized all drugs. You can have any drug you want in Oregon. Oh, my God. So they're trying to sell this as this is, let's keep Idaho drug free, right? But we know what this is really about, folks. This is about medical marijuana. This is about the fact that they know 75% or more of the people in the state support medical marijuana. And when it makes the ballot, it will pass. That's what this is about. And they know by enshrining this prohibition in the Constitution, that makes it untouchable by an initiative. So this really has very little to do with marijuana per se and has everything to do with short-circuiting the right of the people of the state of Idaho to exercise their Idaho constitutional right to petition with regards to medical marijuana. That's what this is about. Let's stop medical marijuana. So this was proposed on Monday. This Monday, the bill got its first hearing, and we were there for testimony. Our own Bill Espenson gave some great testimony. Megan Romero gave some great testimony. Lots of people gave some great testimony to this committee. Now, you have to also understand about Idaho politics that Idaho may be the most Republican state in America. It was at one time. Last time I looked it up, maybe it was 2018, sometime around there. I looked it up, and Idaho certainly was the most Republican state as far as the ratio of Democrats to Republicans, right? I don't know if that's still true, but if not, it's really close. It's really up there. It'd be up there with Utah and Oklahoma and whatever. So in Idaho, in this particular committee that we're dealing with, C. Scott Grow is presenting to a committee that consists of 7 Republicans and 2 Democrats. So you're already kind of on the ropes as it is, you know, starting from behind the eight ball, so to speak. So he presented this on Monday. We gave testimony and it lit up Idaho media. They got letters to the editor, all the papers, the news stations are running this. Now, usually, you know, what's going on in a little Senate committee doesn't make many headlines. But when we start talking about medical marijuana, that generates clicks, that generates ratings. So having got so much attention for various problems of this amendment, not the least of which is that since hemp isn't legal in Idaho, this would freeze it so hemp is permanently illegal. Right? CBD oil, hemp-derived CBD oil with less than 0.3% THC, that's still illegal in Idaho. So Senator Grove was actually trying to sell this as, well, you know, we'll get that legalized before this goes into effect. And some of the other senators are like, oh yeah, really? You sure? You want to bet on that? I mean, things happen. So he presented this on Monday, was supposed to bring it back on Wednesday for a vote as to whether or not it would get out of that committee. And he showed up on Wednesday, and we showed up on Wednesday to testify. He showed up on Wednesday and said, oh, something came up. We need some more time. Now, we thought it might be he needed to rewrite some of the language. But if that happened, if he rewrites the language, then there has to be another hearing on it. And there has to be more testimony on it because the language is different. So he didn't rewrite any language. On Friday, today, this morning, he brought back the same exact language for his final presentation to the committee, and for the committee's final questions, and for the final vote. And for those of us in the audience, all we could do is sit and watch and listen to, well, all sorts of interesting points of view. Let me just put it that way. So that's our setup for today's show, today's extended radical rant. is we're going to listen to these legislators from the state of Idaho, and you're going to get to hear what we're dealing with. We'll begin with the presentation by C. Scott Groh. Now, understand also C. Scott Groh is not just a state senator. He is also a member of the Council of 70 for the LDS Church, the Mormons. And if you don't know how Mormon, you know, hierarchy works, it's basically, you know, the Mormons have a president, right? There's a president of the church, and they have a Congress. So he's a congressman in the Mormon church, let's say. So he's presenting this amendment today. Let's start with C. Scott Groh's opening statement.
The Idaho Constitution defines a government, but also defines a culture. One of the reasons our Idaho Constitution is longer than the U.S. Constitution. So we find in the Idaho Constitution, it states, the first concern, not just a concern, but the first concern of all good government is the virtue and sobriety of the people and the purity of the home. And it goes on to say that the legislature, so why are we doing this? We've been asked, why are we doing this versus arising somewhere else? The legislature should promote temperance and morality. And this is the established culture of Idaho. It has served us well for a long time.
Temperance and morality. And of course, you know me, I had to look that up. And he's right. It's like Section 24 of Article 3 of the Idaho Constitution, 24, 25, something like that, of the Idaho Constitution, the part that sets up the legislature, specifically directs them to set policy as to promote temperance. And if you don't know, the word temperance comes from the late 1800s all the way up until alcohol prohibition. The temperance movement was the prohibition of alcohol. So I actually had to give C. Scott Groh a point on this one for, you know, knowing his state constitution, because it does actually instruct them to promote laws for the sobriety of the people. Amazing, huh? Now, surprisingly, that constitutional codicil doesn't seem to affect alcohol. You're perfectly fine to not be sober in that respect, apparently.
We are threatened by powerful and well-funded forces from outside the state who would redefine our culture. They themselves use words like stoned, wasted, baked, fried, blasted, stupid, and wrecked to describe their effect on our citizens.
Drunk, blotto, shit-faced, tanked, hammered. Shall I go on? Again, we doesn't seem to have a problem with the alcohol drinking, which I know in the Mormon church is a big problem too, right? In fact, the Mormon church has more of a problem with alcohol than it does medical cannabis, since it actually does approve medical cannabis in certain respects. But anyway, C. Scott Groh, this talking point about the well-funded opposition, let's think about this for a second, right? He's trying to say that Idaho has this certain culture. Idahoans like the way Idaho is. We have this certain culture. We don't want to change our culture.
But Idaho, but out-of-state interests with lots of money might come in and force us to change our culture at the point of a gun.
Well, no. No, out-of-state interests might put something on the ballot, and then the people could decide if that's good or not. Look, if I had $1 billion, let's say I got Elon Musk money in my pocket, and I came to the state of Idaho, and I wanted to pass an initiative, put an initiative on the ballot that legalizes bestiality. Under the Idaho laws, it will be legal to have sex with animals. And I'm going to fund it. I'm going to put $1 billion into it. Do you think it's going to pass? No, it's not going to pass. So what you're really telling us here about your culture is that you want to keep the culture the way you want it, not the way the majority wants it. Because if medical marijuana made the ballot from some well-financed influences, it's still the people of Idaho that got a vote on it. We can't buy their votes. We can't put a gun to their head and force them to say yes. They know that 75% of Idahoans support this. That's what this is all about. Trying to stop people from doing what the majority want the culture to be. So, of course, you can't paint this picture without, you know, explaining how terrible drugs are. They're just terrible.
This results in increased societal problems such as addiction and homelessness.
So the well-funded opposition changes the drug laws against the people's will, and then suddenly you have more addiction and homelessness. Well, the facts belie those statements, given that when we find more access to cannabis in states, there is less opiate addiction. Exactly the opposite of what you're promoting. And this idea that legalizing marijuana somehow causes homelessness, right? And not, you know, people not being able to afford homes or being laid off their jobs or having no work because of COVID causes homelessness. No, it's got to be the weed because, you know, if someone's homeless in Dallas, Texas, and they hear that Boise, Idaho has legal weed, why, they're going to buy a bus ticket and come live in Boise and be homeless, you know, where there's winters and it's freezing. Makes no sense.
Increased environmental problems, such as deforestation and pollution of waters with pesticides and other chemicals.
Now, this is an interesting talking point. Oh, no. Illegal marijuana grows lead to pesticides and water problems and degradation and deforestation. How come illegal hops grows don't cause that? How come illegal tobacco grows don't cause that? How come illegal potato farms? Oh, I know, because those are legal. People don't have to hide their farm in the middle of the national forest. And people can follow laws and openly sell and buy their goods and not have to skimp and use pesticides and all sorts of terrible things. Now, this is not to say that legalization is the panacea that ends illegal grows. It doesn't, but it certainly cuts down on them.
Increased problems for our children with infant poisoning, school dropouts, depression, babies born with drug addiction.
All right, let's start with the poisonings. What he's referring to is kids getting into the cannabis gummies. Now, this was a really terribly scary story in like 2014. Since then, though, Senator Groh, if you take a look at the poison control statistics in states like Oregon, since an initial spike when there's the very beginning rollout of legalization, since then, these calls have gone down. Because these states that were the first states to try this figured out, oh, let's do, you know, childproof containers. Let's do some educational campaigns to let parents know. And also consider the initial spike that you got was a lot of people who, before it was legal, were taking their kid to the poison control center for, I don't know, gee, gosh, maybe it was food poisoning and not marijuana, which I certainly would never have because that's illegal. Oops.
First of all,
that's not the one. Sorry. Back to C. Scott Groh. Back to C. Scott Groh.
Increased deaths and injury from highway and industrial accidents, suicides and overdoses.
And again, what does this have to do with medical marijuana? Nothing. And all these stats that he brings up, right? Keep in mind, we're talking about a state where all these things are already illegal. So they're already illegal and all these bad things are happening. So by golly, if we make it extra illegal, that'll stop it? Insane. This is just insanity, this worry about. And as far as the traffic fatalities, by the way, the state of Idaho has had a higher rate of traffic fatalities since 1994, has had a higher rate of traffic fatalities than the state of Oregon and the state of Washington on a 100 per 100 million miles driven basis, with the exception of 1 year, since 1994. So we're talking, you know, more decades, where Idaho has been a more dangerous place to drive than either of the two states that have had medical and then subsequently recreational marijuana.
Increased family problems, such as spouse and child abuse.
Well, and again, all these problems he's dredging up are effects of, you know, meth and alcohol and, you know, other drugs. People that are marijuana smokers are not abusing their kids. In fact, the marijuana smoking might keep some of them from abusing their kids.
and the required removal of children from incapable or incapacitated parents.
Where what is defined by Child Protective Services as incapable or incapacitated is, we found pot in your home. That's it. We found pot in your home. Has nothing to do with you're a good mom, you're a good dad, you're a good provider, you got a clean house, whatever. We found pot in your home. You're a bad parent. Let's take you away, put you with a foster care where you're more, the kid's more likely to suffer harm in the foster care family.
Increased criminal activity as addicts use desperate means to satisfy their needs.
Oh, yeah. You know, boy, when I can't get my joint, if I have to go a day without a joint, man, I have to break into someone's car. I'm gonna have to rob someone, man, if I can't get a joint.
Give me a break. Again, notice how they know marijuana is popular. They know people support marijuana. So to have to fight marijuana, they can't talk about marijuana. They have to talk about drugs. They have to talk about all these terrible things that happen from drugs. It says something that you can't scare people with marijuana. You got to bring in some other boogeyman to scare people. And crime. By definition, the legalization of a substance eliminates the crime involved with that substance. Like, I got a whole tray of joints here that are no longer a crime. That crime is gone.
And as organized crime moves into the more permissive environment.
So this is the theory that, oh, when you legalize marijuana, then in comes the cartels to take advantage of the fact that marijuana is legalized. Because, you know, there's nothing cartels like better than seed-to-sale tracking systems and mandatory data entry and RFID coded products and state searchable databases. Yeah, that cartels are all about that.
Citizens feel insecure in their homes or as they walk the streets. In short, it is a change in culture. We don't need to look far to see the evidence of this cultural change. States around us and throughout the nation have not preserved their cultures. They were once where we are now.
So this is another one of their talking points. You'll hear it from another couple of the senators later on of, you know, we want to keep Idaho, Idaho. We don't want to turn out like Oregon. Ooh, not like Oregon. Or sometimes it's California, but you know. Oh, we don't want to talk like turn out like Oregon. And what's funny about that is like, so forget Oregon. How about we do medical marijuana like, I don't know, Arkansas or Oklahoma or West Virginia, just to pick three red states off the top of my head that have a culture that might be somewhat similar to Idaho's? This idea that the only choice is drug-free Idaho or decriminalized Oregon is a false dichotomy.
Many of their citizens desperately wish to return to their former cultures. Many of them are moving to Idaho because of the culture we maintain here.
And for every one of them, there is someone who has left the state of Idaho because they have a medical need. In fact, one of those people who left the state of Idaho for their medical need was the sister-in-law of C. Scott Groh. That's right. The sister-in-law of C. Scott Groh lived in Idaho, but she has multiple sclerosis. So 5 years ago, she had to leave Idaho. She had to move out to Ontario, Oregon, where she could use medical cannabis. And when she got her first dose of medical cannabis, she said it was the first time ever she had felt her pain go away. It was the most effective medicine she had ever tried. But if C. Scott Groh is successful in getting this constitutional amendment added to the Idaho Constitution, his sister-in-law, his wife's own sister, will be permanently banned from returning to the culture of Idaho that she'd like to return to.
We can learn from them that the culture we have enjoyed in Idaho is not free. It will not continue unless it is effectively protected.
Protected from what? From the majority? From 75% of the people voting on it? From 65,000 or more signing a petition to change the laws? Again, you're afraid of what the majority wants. You have a view of what Idaho is. Some regressive view imagines that prohibition makes marijuana, the icky marijuana, go away, when 75% of your constituents disagree with you on this.
The constitutions of other states which define a culture, much like ours, were not sufficient to protect and preserve their cultures. They are now very different states without having changed a word of their constitutions.
Oh, yeah. Remember, you know, because I remember Oregon, like I visited Oregon in the early 90s before they had a medical marijuana program in Oregon. And one thing I remember about Oregon is how everybody was all in suits and ties and short hair and all clean cut, very conservative. They loved Ronald Reagan and they hated Bill Clinton, you know. And they hated weed. Oh, they hated weed. Nobody would ever smoke weed in the 90s in Oregon. But then, oh my God, they passed medical marijuana in 1998. And now what? Now look what happened. Now look at what happened in Oregon. My God, there's, people that are living in cities and farming and doing what people do. Oregon has not changed because of its marijuana laws. Washington State has not changed because of its marijuana laws. All that changes when you change your marijuana laws is people you used to be putting in cages don't get put in cages anymore. It doesn't stop them from smoking. It doesn't make them smoke. It doesn't change much at all.
Idahoans still have a choice. This may be our last chance to choose between the culture we have enjoyed in the past and the culture now evident in the states around us.
And it's funny he mentions that the Constitution wasn't enough to protect the state, other states, because Colorado's medical and recreational marijuana were constitutional amendments. They amended their constitutions to provide these things. So their constitutions were plenty strong enough. They just changed them to allow for these things. This last chance to preserve the culture, give the people a choice to vote on it. You already have this culture. Idaho's already drug-free. All these drugs are already illegal. If a medical marijuana initiative comes on the ballot and Idaho doesn't want that culture, they can vote against it. If a legalized cocaine comes on the ballot and Idaho doesn't want that culture, they can vote against it. They don't have to choose it. Just insane.
This proposed amendment does not change anything in current statute. It preserves and protects what we now have in the statutes of this state.
Yes, it locks them in. It freezes them. And more importantly, let's get to the real point, Scott.
It makes it more difficult for outside influences of the recreational drug industry to change our culture. It will allow our voters to decide what will our culture be as we go forward.
Yeah, and see, this is how this works. If we, the people, want to put something on the ballot to let the people decide what the drug policy should be, well, we, the people, have to go collect 65,000 signatures from other the peoples. And then with all those signatures, we got to get them all verified. And this costs a lot of money, usually about $2 a signature. You got to get a lot of money pulled in to get all these signatures. But once you get that, and you got to get your lawyers to review the law, and you got to hire people for that. And then once you've got all those signatures, it gets put on the ballot, right? And then the people decide. But if you're them, you just get 23 senators to vote for it, 47 House representatives to vote for it, and it's on the ballot. They don't have to spend any money. They don't have to collect any signatures. This is the tyranny of 23 senators and 47 representatives against 3/4 of the population of the state of Idaho. It's asymmetrical warfare and it's unfair. And it's absolutely about stopping initiatives. And every time he says well-funded out-of-state interests, what he's saying is kill the petitioning power of the people of the state of Idaho. But just on this issue. Just this issue, right? Because in 2019, they tried to just kill the whole petitioning power. And all the right-wing groups said, hey, we might want to pass something about guns someday. Don't do that. Don't take that power away. So this is their latest try. This is C. Scott Groh recognizing he can't take away the initiative power overall. So let's just take away the initiative power for this one issue. And how does it take the initiative power? Because as a constitutional amendment, the only thing that can get rid of it is a constitutional amendment. And in Idaho, only the legislature can propose constitutional amendments. So if he was really being sincere about let the people vote on it, this is about not should we be drug free. This is should we give up our power to ever change the drug laws as they are now? Should we surrender that power? Power that is listed in that same Idaho state constitution that C. Scott Groh is bragging about, that grants vests in the people the sole power of the government. But he's going to take that power away because he thinks, well, marijuana's icky. So that was the intro. That was the introduction from C. Scott Groh. Then we had the committee able to talk about it. Now, one of the committee members wasn't there. So we had six Republicans, including the chair, who is Senator Patty Ann Lodge, and two Democrats. And the two Democrats, of course, are against this, and the six Republicans are for it. But they made some great points, and I got to give them credit for that. We're going to hear from Senator Grant Burgoyne, Democrat from Boise, because that's one of two places you can find a Democrat. There might be a couple more. I'm just joking. Here's Grant Burgoyne taking on this constitutional prohibition amendment.
The suggestion that the culture of Idaho is somehow attractive because of the drug policy of this state, I do not agree with. Our drug problems in Idaho are every bit as severe as places like California, Oregon, Washington, New York, Florida, Texas, and all the rest of the country.
And in some places, in some ways, worse. Some of Idaho's drug stats are worse. But the point being made there that Idaho is not special, that currently we currently have this policy. All he's asking us to do is to put in the Constitution what already exists. Drugs are bad. Drugs are illegal. Don't do them. So they're illegal and it's not helping. So let's make them super extra illegal.
We're not making good progress on this issue. In fact, things are getting worse, not better. I don't disagree that efforts to legalize marijuana in other states have not advanced the cause of undoing this great harm to our people.
And, you know, there's a point that we don't need to shy away from, that legalization doesn't fix everything. It only fixes pot being illegal for the most part, which is, for the people being busted for it, plenty enough, right?
Some of the rollouts of the legalization of marijuana in other states have been absolutely disastrous. But it still begs the question as to whether we have the right policy.
And so that's the point is, you know, legalization is going to take time. You might have to try different methods, but prohibition has been proven to be a failure.
So when we say that we want to preserve what we now have in our statutes, that makes me shudder. It doesn't make me happy.
Right. Because what we're doing now, telling people just say no, throwing them in cages if we catch them, has led to this, has led to the problem that we are trying to solve. The prohibition already exists and it's already creating this problem.
When we say that we want to keep Idaho, Idaho, well, I want to keep Idaho, Idaho when it comes to the wide open spaces and the lifestyle that I'm enabled to enjoy here. But I do not want to keep Idaho, Idaho for our habituated drug users, for our addicted drug users, for those who have broken lives because of substance abuse in our state, or for those who have died because of drug use and will die because of drug use in our state. And the policy that we have is not preventing any of that.
And the policy we have is leading people to the more harmful substances. If they don't have cannabis as pain management, they move to opiates. And if they can't get the opiates, they move to the street opiates.
If we were serious about dealing with the issue of substance abuse in this state, tobacco executives, opiate executives who work in glass buildings and wear suits like yours and mine would be in jail in this state. But we don't do that. We give them a pass.
And there we nail the hypocrisy right on the head. It has nothing to do with safety, has nothing to do with worrying about drug harms. It has to do with punishing a certain drug, of trying to stop a certain drug, marijuana.
And what we do is when those children become adults, or when those children along the way, or as adults, get caught up in the criminal justice system, we all too often punish them rather than treat them. We view them not as the victims that they are of illegal drug pushers. We view them as the criminal. This is the policy we want to enshrine in our Constitution? I think not.
Exactly. So that is Senator Grant Burgoyne, a Democrat from Boise. He was followed by Senator Abby Lee. Now, interesting, Senator Lee is from Fruitland, Idaho. She is the state senator who lives the closest to a legal pot shop. It's literally across the river from where she lives. I looked it up on Google Maps. So this is Abby Lee with her thoughts on the constitutional prohibition of medical marijuana.
I would share, though, that one of the things that gives me confidence in moving forward in this is that the people are going to have the opportunity to vote on this. Whatever we do in our legislature today will not be passing a constitutional amendment. We are passing something, a piece of policy that we are asking the people of Idaho, do you agree? And you will have an opportunity and you will have a voice to let us know this is the process.
Yeah, and we are definitely going to let you know, Senator Lee. people get to vote on this. Oh, the people will vote on it. We're not putting it into the Constitution ourselves. It'll be on the ballot. And she's right. It has to get 2/3 support in the Senate. That's 23 senators, and Scott Groh's already got them, himself and 22 co-sponsors. He's already got it. It'll already pass the Senate as things stand today. And then 2/3 of the House, 47 of the 70 representatives in the House. If both those bodies agree by 2/3 majority, it goes to the ballot. And on the ballot, like it'll be on the 2022 ballot, the people would decide by a bare majority whether or not it's added to the Constitution. So, first of all, this is a little disingenuous because, like I said, drugs are already illegal. And so you're asking people to approve the status quo. So right there, you already have a benefit, right? Most people are resistant to change. So you're already playing on your home court by having people vote for the status quo. If you say this is an amendment to keep drugs illegal, a lot of people are going to think, oh, if I vote against this, then it'll make drugs legal. Instead of realizing, no, they're already still illegal. So there's a ton of education that'll have to be done just to convince people, no, you can vote against this because it's not making drugs legal. It's making them so they're not permanently illegal. And then you're lost in the weeds and it's a tough fight, right? But even then, here's how disingenuous this thing is. Let's say we do get our medical marijuana on the ballot for 2022. And according to our polling, it performs as we expect, and it gets 75% of the vote. So if the medical marijuana initiative gets 75% of the vote and the drug prohibition amendment gets 51% of the vote, guess which one goes into effect? If you guessed constitutional amendment, you're a winner. That's right. Constitutional amendments outrank initiatives. So even if we got 75% on our medical marijuana, 50% for the initiative would beat it. So this is not really asking the people what they think. If you wanted to ask the people what they think, you'd put medical marijuana on the ballot. You'd take our initiative and say, hey, we'll do this as a legislative referral. And if the people reject it, well, there you go. It's been rejected. And in fact, I would take that bet. If any state senator or representative came up to me and said, Russ, we'll put your Idaho Medical Marijuana Act on the ballot as a referred initiative, and if it's voted down, do you promise to never try an initiative again? I would take that bet. I would say, absolutely. I'll be out of your hair, Idaho. I'll be out of your hair. You put this on the ballot, and if the people reject it, You win. Your culture. You win. It's your culture. They won't do that because they know 75% would support it. All right, that's all the time we got for Hour 1. Stay tuned. Hour 2, Toker Talk Radio continues this special look at the Senate Joint Resolution 101 and a sneak peek coming up at the newest and first medical marijuana bill in Idaho. We're everyone here in the Gem State, Idaho's America's last prohibition state. I'm Radical Russ. Thanks for joining us. And until next time, take care of each other, tokers. You plant it, you grow it, you try it, you roam it, you smoke it, and it goes down smooth. Hey!